Nekama in Pali, Nekama.
Nekama.
Yes. Strange, but that's the fact. Nekama. And in English, you can say letting go because it does have that flavor that things are going anyway and you let them go. But to give a little nuance to that, I think it would be more right to say let it be and let it go. Because we let it go with knowing what it is that we're letting go. So we know a thought is a thought, and we know, in answer to Ilana's question, that a thought that carries the pain of dagga, it's a thought that carries the pain of the dukkha of dagga, of worry. We know it, but we don't give it any importance. It's just what it is, we let it go, because anyway it's going. So we say hello, bye-bye. And bitur is letting things drop that we don't really need in the first place, which is sometimes very difficult, because things get totally stuck to us. There's a Japanese Zen phrase that says, why do we need to let go? Because otherwise it all piles up. And renunciation, bitur, is a parami that's sometimes called the chief of all the paramis. And the reason is that it turns every other parami or quality that we have into a parami. And if you remember what we talked about, that the paramis are human qualities, part of our personality, which are transformed by the wisdom of non-self. By a sense of inner freedom, we transform automatic behaviors and personality qualities into paramis. So, instead of, for example, we had in the weekend the parami of sila. So personality wise everybody has got some degree of control on their behaviors, and they're told in the kindergarten you mustn't hit another child, and so it's come automatically, so we don't like violence, although some people do like violence because they very much see a reward in hitting another child. So mostly we don't. And it's automatic. And we have the matzpun, the conscience. It's not yet a parami. The parami is when, through an inner space, we realize the true meaning of sila, how we become pure and life becomes pure, purer and more joyful and more open and more ease and more awake through being in touch with the quality in us of sila. That means wise, helpful action in life. That needs us to let go of me and my interest. And so it becomes apparent. And so all of the paramis are, in a way, need this basic quality of letting go of me and mine and the automatic behavior called I want, I don't want. So that's why renunciation is a key parami. And renunciation, bitur, letting go. And I think on the basic, we can look at it, it's quite useful to look at it on, like in the Tibetan description of a sort of basic level, and then a subtle level, and then an ultimate level, which we did with sila. On the basic level, I think we all know what is renunciation, letting go. We reduce our neediness, hishtokukut, our neediness for things. And it's interesting, it's the first word, more or less, in the Satipatthana Sutta, before you even start to meditate. In the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the sutta which guides the Vipassana, whole Vipassana movement, the first thing in that sutta is, you sit down, sit cross-legged under a tree, but before you even do that, you give up worrying about the world. In English you say fretting. You give up daga, what I need from the world. You can't give it up completely. It doesn't say give up completely, because this is already a parami before you even start to practice. It's reducing our worrying about the world. Daga, what I have, what I don't have, what I need, what I don't need. Because you just can't start. Especially as old Buddhist monks a few thousand years ago, that they had nothing. So if you have nothing, and you're busy worrying about having nothing, you can't start. So it's right at the first step. And it says that we are so controlled by wanting and not wanting and pushing away and needing that we have to let go of that from the beginning. And especially because it keeps the whole wheel of samsara turning. It's fundamental to the wheel of samsara. It's built from wanting, not wanting, needing, not needing, desire, rejection, angers. That keeps the whole wheel turning. I want, I need this, I need to be comfortable, I want more, I don't like this, I don't like him, I do like her, I don't like this, I don't like myself, I do like myself. That chain of the, you know, keeps the whole wheel of samsara going round and round. So it's very fundamental to be able to let go. And that's in a way why, right at the beginning also, the Buddha said, if you want to join me, leave your house and become homeless. Which is a challenge for us. What does that mean? I'm not even prepared to give up my sandwiches to give up my house, to give up my money, to give up my car, to give up my... What does it mean? What do I have to give up? But the Buddha was so... He challenged the whole world of having and needing by saying that there's only four things that a monk has. A roof over their head. Can be an umbrella or a tree. Medicine. A bowl.
Medicine.
He's allowed to carry medicines, yeah. A bowl, kera, and robes. Which in the early Buddhist tradition were made from rags. And even the food. The Buddha wasn't a vegetarian. Because he said it's more important that we get leftovers. He would never, never agree. It was very, very clear in the suttas. No animal must be killed but for the sake of a monk. Asur, it's totally forbidden for any animal to be killed in order to feed a monk. But the monks eating leftover, that's where they were wandering the village saying, if you've got any leftover food, don't give it to the chickens or the compost, give it to the monks. And they were eating leftovers, and for that was more important than whether their leftover was meat or vegetables. They didn't care. So the whole issue of not being full of neediness was really important as a basis for spiritual practice. And there is in it, of course, a bit of the Sakfanut of ancient India. It has a little bit of a quality of that, of the ascetic Indian asceticism, as Sakfanut. There's a nice story about this. Once the Buddha was walking in the forest, and he heard laughter coming from under a tree. Laughter somewhere in the forest. And he asked one of the monks, can you go and find out? I'm very curious. Where's that laughter coming from? I'm very curious. So the monk went off into the forest and found another monk that was sitting under a tree. And this other monk was laughing and laughing and happy and laughing. And the monk said, tell me your story. And the monk under the tree said, you know what? I used to be a king. I had everything. I had everything. Money, castle, a kingdom, a palace, everything, elephants, everything anyone could want. But I hadn't got a moment of real peace because I was always worried that someone would take everything away. And I used to have guards standing on my around my bed when I slept, which I couldn't leave 1 minute without guards guarding me and my treasure. And I was living with so much anxiety. I came out of that, I became a monk, and now my mind is as free as a deer grazing in the meadows, in the fields. It's a beautiful image. My mind is as free as a deer grazing in the meadow. And that's, I think, the bottom line is, and somewhere in one of the suttas it said the bottom line on renunciation. It's maybe it's in the paper I gave you on renunciation, is one of the suttas from Thanissara Bhikkhu. But at the bottom line of one of the suttas it says there, we do not deny the beauty of the world. We give up only our intentions around it, well, what we want from it. We do not deny the beauty of the world. Renunciation is not renouncing the beauty of the world. Just like what we did in meditation now, we renounced everything that stops the beauty of the moment. The moment is beautiful and complete in its nature. Kasum, this moment. We let go of all the stuff around it, our intentions, our tguvot, our reactions, our responses, what we want more of. That's what we let go of, but not the beauty of the world. In other words, renunciation is not denial of beautiful things or of the magic of existence or the perfection of existence. It's letting go of the stuff that we do with it. So I think on the very basic level, the Dharma certainly encourages us to be more simple. And I know that Isaac is thinking, how could he say that? Stephen just bought a car. Yeah. But I renounce the need to all the time to drive a 20-year-old car that doesn't work. I'm renouncing the attachment to ancient cars that don't work. There's a very nice song that the Christian community, there's a Christian community in America that renounced the whole modern world. And they have a song. It is a gift to be simple. It is a gift to be free. It is a gift to come down to where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful song. Of that simplicity, we'll find ourselves in the valley of love and delight. Renunciation is a lot about, letting go is a lot about meeting fear. meeting fear. Because what really stops us letting go is our fear of what will happen when we do that. What will I be without this that I think I need? This person, this relationship, this house, this money, this job, this car, this protection, this safety, this conditions that I live in, this comfort. What will I be if I let go of this, these possessions? My big attachment in my life, one of my big attachments, I have a few, and one of them is my library. And I do think of, you know, really good library of Buddhist books I've collected over 40 years. And I do think, oh, what would I be if there was someone lit a match? Book. I'd probably be okay, actually, in the end. I'd probably be all right. And the truth is, I don't read them anymore, anyway.
Free?
Yes, maybe I'll be a lot freer. But I think that we are concerned with what will I eat. I can't imagine the emptiness of being without these things that I hold on to, or these people, or these things, these qualities that I hold on to. And there's a fear in that. And that stops us. But always what happens, it's just, I've seen it and heard it 100 times, that when, and experienced it, that when we do let go of something that we are attached to, after we do it, even though the doing it might be a little difficult, after we do it, we feel at ease. We feel better. We feel lighter. We can't imagine before how to do it, but when we let go of things, invariably, always, we actually feel at ease after we've done it, and lighter. Because there is a lot of pain in that neediness. There's pain and there's pressure. And it's really lovely to realize that we're like a passenger in a train carrying bags, like Ramana Maharshi said, and actually we can let down the bags and let the train take us and the bags. The train of life can take us and take the bags as well. We don't need to carry the bags while the train is going. And it's that... So there, in the craving, in the neediness, there is pain, there is contraction, I need, there is dependence, tlut, there is fear. And it's the same if it's possessions that we can let go of, or thoughts, like Ilana's example, or thoughts that we keep going round. They go round us, we go round them. And it's the contraction, and when we let go, we find ourselves freer and lighter. Ah, that chain, sharsheret, of thoughts, that's gone. I don't need them. They don't help me. I can let go. And the basic level, the renunciation is not a fight so much. It's more a sense, I can be without it. Without it. It's more a sense, I'm fine without it. It's not... we're dealing, for example, with an addiction. We can have an addiction to something, hitmakrut, to something. And the wise way on this level of renunciation is a deep understanding that actually I'm okay without. Actually, I'm all right without. Actually, I don't need it. I don't need to go down that road. I don't need to go down that road. I don't know. It's actually... It's okay. It's okay without. And that's where our spiritual practice helps us. Because if we just experience the simplicity of sitting, for example. Sitting on a retreat, maybe for some people uncomfortable, especially in indoor when there's no private bathrooms and there's no private this and there's no this and it may be a bit cold, maybe a bit hot, but okay, I'm okay. I sit quiet. There's nothing I really need. I'm all right. And it's kind of that sense is the renunciation. It's not a struggle. It's not a fight that we fight ourselves. It's a sense I can let go because I don't really need it. And it can be an effort at the beginning. Sometimes, the Buddha said, sometimes you do need to make an effort at the beginning, but it always gets less and less. And after a while, you don't need any effort at all. At the beginning, it can be a little difficult to give up cigarettes, even with that, with whatever the message of I'm all right without and so on, but still I like my cigarette after with coffee. Well, okay, but I just want now. Oh, okay, but yeah, okay, I learned all about renunciation in the class with Stephen on Tuesday, but but tomorrow's another day and I like my cigarette this morning. But that sense of, actually I don't need anything. I'm okay, I don't need anything. I sat quiet, I'm sitting quietly here under the sky. What do I need? It's that feeling will help the renunciation, will make it less effort. And in the end, we get supported because whenever we give up something, we actually become more joyful. Like the monk who was a king and then became a joyful monk. When we give up, when we've done it, we feel that lightness and that joy that comes from needing less. It's always joyful. And it also, there's one other thing that helps, and that's the practice of vipassana, that we know deeply that actually we don't really need to let go aggressively to push things away because they go by themselves. They go by themselves. Everything goes by itself. So actually the holding on is a kind of a non-truth, is a kind of a lie. Because if we look carefully, everything goes. If I look at my library, how long is it going to last? Well, how many worms are going to come and eat the Buddhist books? What will happen when I'm gone? Who's going to? Where will they go? Maybe they go to Beta Sangha, but maybe Beta Sangha doesn't have room for them, so they'll go maybe to the recycle, and everything goes to recycle in the end. Every thought, every thing we own, every our body as well is totally recycled in 5 minutes and also all our life. So that helps us to let go because we see it's going anyway. So on the subtle level, on a more subtle level of renunciation, I would say the second level or the level, more deep level, renunciation or vitur is basically vitur that things should be a certain way. It's, you understand? That things should be, have to be like this or like that. Or shouldn't be like this or like that. It's leaving control. Reducing control. Shlita. We renounce control over our experience. That we want a certain experience, or we don't want a certain experience. And this is really an issue for every one of us here. Because we're on a spiritual path, we invest a lot on this journey, perhaps in the Dharma or in other. We invest a lot. We go off on retreats, it's not so easy. We have to take time off, we leave our partners and children and to go off on retreat because it's important. Maybe years we spend on the journey. And so let's be honest and say, yes, we have expectations for hitkadmut, progress. Yes, I have expectations that I will have fruit from all the investment that I'm giving into the spiritual journey. And so we have images. I want a deeper experience. I want peace. I want inner peace. I want to stop the mind from disturbing me. I want ecstasy and joy. These are voices of need. And we can renounce them too. Also they can be renounced, levater. Because actually they are also contraction, they kapsut, they bring us to measuring and to needing results. They bring us to hope, tikva, and so on a subtle level, we actually can drop them as well. You know that, and that may not be so easy. I'm not saying it's easy, because it's also very subtle. We have it, mamash adin betochenu. I want progress. Magiali, achrei kol ha-retreat v'zeh, magiali. Nu, lama gav sheli koev, you know, my back is hurting. I've been to 10 retreats and my body's still hurting. What's this? So, we need to also this, to let go of, because the journey to awakening is about letting go. Renunciation is one of the paramis where we let go in order to wake up. And letting go of the need for progress, attachment to results, is one of the things on the subtle level. And another thing to let go of on the subtle level is becoming somebody. The need to be somebody. All the tafkidim, all the roles and all the identities that we have and all the things around me, the whole issue of becoming somebody, bhava. Bhava is becoming. In the Sanskrit, it's part in the Sanskrit. It's part of the paticca samuppada is bhava. It's like the neediness and so on makes us an identity, and we need to be ourselves. We want an identity. We need to know I'm in charge. I'm in control. I know where I am. I know who I am. I know my tafkid. Now is this tafkid. Now is that tafkid. We know that self in the middle. This is my experience. I own my experience. Ba'alut. On my experience, this is me looking at the world, all of that holding on, very subtle and very deep. We can renounce that as well. Who is looking at what? In a moment of experience, who is looking at what? And if we go into that, we see that all that construction is another thing that we're holding on to. And it's not really necessary. It's not true. It's just simply not true. When we look deeply enough, as we know, hard to find this identity that we hold on to so strongly. And this brings us to the third level of letting go, which is, as I said over the weekend, the bodhisattva level. Because at this level of more infinite or more liberated level, what we let go of is the construction that we make about ourselves and the world. The habit we make to see the world in a certain way. The habit of duality, of I am here, and I'm a person, and the world is there, called something which I know. The duality is dissolved. I let go of me and the world as fixed known, solid entity, things. Me as a thing, solid, known, and the world as solid and known. So we let go of ownership. There's a beautiful quote about the Bodhisattva, which I might have said before, but in case not, I'll say it again. When someone asked the Bodhisattva, after he had or she had brought millions of creatures to awakening, humans and others, and if you ask him or her who did it, he or she would say, I have no idea. And if you ask him or her, what did you do? He or she would say, I don't know. It's that sense of letting go of ownership, of control, of being somebody that does something. And then we look from that place, we look back at the ordinary mind that is constantly hungry for attachment of things and of not knowing and of a self and of objects and of needs and so on. We look from that place of the Bodhisattva place, the place of deepest letting go, we look on that as a kind of a crazy, conditioned world, that we're not part of it anymore. That the conditioned cycle of life, the samsaric wheel, is seen as, what the hell was that? I don't need that anymore. And poor people that are locked in it, and animals and that are locked in that wheel of birth and death, we look on it differently with compassion. It creates, the Bodhisattva is fueled by wisdom and compassion, and the compassion is for the conditioned mind. And instead of that, there is a lot more spontaneity. Everything gets much more spontaneous. And there isn't a person in charge, and there isn't someone who is wanting a result, and there isn't someone measuring things. And you can feel that yourselves. When you feel good, and when you feel light, and when you feel free, there's no one there measuring, it should be like that, or it should be like that. Just feel, this spontaneous moment of my life. When there is this sense of completion, this shleimut, and it's a result of letting go of the need to be somebody experiencing something, and the world like that, and me like this. So if we let go at that level, and we say spontaneously acting in the world, what's it like? And I like the image here of Dakini. Dakini are female energies that are constantly dancing. You know, in the spiritual tradition, Indian especially, and actually not only Indian, also in the West, the spontaneous actions of life are female, and they are dancing all the time. And it's whether it's in the Indian or Hindu tradition, they are gopis. You ever heard of the gopis? It's Indian mythology is the gopis are the milk girls that bring milk, and they milk the cows and so on, and they're always playing with Krishna. Krishna is dancing, playing the flute, and the gopis are dancing. The gopis are the energies of the world. The dakinis are the energies of the world. Right now, words are releasing millions of dakinis, female energies that go out in the world and do things. All your thoughts are like dakinis dancing, like angels, female angels. Leela is the word in the Indian tradition of this play. It's play. Everything turns into play. When there's that deep letting go of needing for outcomes, then there's no time left and there's no result that you need. So then everything is play. It becomes the play of life. Or the play of the divine, the Elohi. And then what happens? A leaf falls from a tree. That's it. No beginning, no end, doesn't need anything, doesn't have to, you know, a leaf falls from a tree, a thought arises, a birth happens, a death happens. It's like a leaf falling from a tree. It's just play. It has no need to be anything other than that. And that needs us to surrender to this spontaneous, free dance. We just have to surrender to it. And that's the deeper level. As the Buddha said, being nobody, going nowhere. That's it. So I want to finish with a small poem by Rumi. He says, find the real world and give it endlessly away. Grow rich, throwing gold to everybody that asks. Live at the empty heart of paradox. I'll dance with you there, cheek to cheek. The dance. Thank you.